from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
What's your process now to figure out, you know, here's the final 53?
Yeah, it's honestly one that's been ongoing, for a long time. And Adam and I spent a lot of time together going through the roster, digging in and finding it. And in fact, he was, watching a whole bunch today, a film. And that's this time of year, what goes on for the initial 53. What does that look like? Who's there? It's a puzzle, to put together, but we'll spend a bunch more time here over the next couple of days and just make sure we can find the right fit for the team.
Dan Quinn, after the game last night, Washington's preseason is over. We are now in less than 2-week countdown mode for the opener in Tampa on Sunday, September 8th. By the way, I don't know if you've noticed this, Denton, the line is down to 3. It was 4 at one point. Coming down a little bit, Tampa Bay right now, most shops, 3-point favorites over Washington in that opener. It's a 4:25 kick, part of the Fox doubleheader week one. It is not the primary doubleheader game. That would be the Dallas Cowboys at the Cleveland Browns. But if you live in the DMV and you don't have Sunday ticket, you'll be able to watch it. Actually, you don't get to watch your home team on Sunday ticket. I just got YouTube TV and the Sunday ticket for the first time for this upcoming season. Ben Standing is with us. He is every Monday and Friday at 12. I'm assuming you've never gotten Sunday ticket, have you? Because you're at games. It would be useless for you to have the Sunday ticket.
I haven't had it in years. I did many moons ago. But yes, I haven't had it for many years because I'm never home. It always makes that 1 or 2 weekends where I am home on a Sunday kind of a bummer. I'm like, oh crap, I can't necessarily watch all the games here. But other than that, yeah, no reason.
But you've had the red zone, so that's, that's fine.
Yeah. I work it out somehow. It's a great product. There was nothing like back in the day going to like a sports bar that had dozens of TVs and be able to watch everything at all times. And then once you've got that at home, it's, super fun.
Yeah. The sports bar thing for me, I just was not a sports bar Sunday goer when my team was playing. That's all I was focused on. And I would prefer to be without, dudes wearing game jerseys with their own name on the back of a jersey. But I always loved sports bars back in the day on a Thursday or Friday afternoon in March for the first round of the tournament. That was always great. Ben has put up his Commanders 53-man roster projection along with what we may have learned from the preseason finale against New England last night. So let me ask you this. How much did your final projection, which I am going through right now, scrolling through, subscribe to The Athletic, people. Ben writes all the time, writes prolifically about this football team and does it very well. Ben's got a podcast. Last Man Standing, and you can follow him on X on Twitter at Ben Standing. How much is this your final final? This has to be your final final, right?
Yeah, I mean, in my head, I already know one thing I'll probably change, but yes, that's my I'm not going to put up another one.
Okay, well, I'm going to hear. I want to hear what the one change would be. What I do want to know is how much changed based on last night.
I think absolutely none.
Okay,
I mean, right, as far as we know, there was no injury, and you know, obviously the ending was kind of fun with Trace McSorley and Martavis Bryant, but you know, I don't think there was anything that was particularly notable in terms of the actual play. Maybe a couple of guys who didn't play, what that might mean, but other than that, no, nothing changed for me.
All right. We're not going to sit here and go through Ben's entire 53 because I want you to subscribe to The Athletic for like a couple of bucks a month to read it. But I do want to ask you, for starters, which area of the team was the biggest challenge for you in nailing down the 53 and the area in which you're not so sure?
Well, honestly, there were quite a few because it's one of those deals where, like, you know, one thing leads into another. The receiver running back situation, though, was a bit of a challenge because I can, you know, a lot of people have them keeping Jeremy McNichols. I get it if you want to just another veteran in, you know, for Jaden Daniels in the backfield, but other than that, I just don't quite understand it. Like, he's a guy, like, he's, you can find him, that kind of player, on the street, and I don't know that I would. You know, I think he could probably get to your practice squad, and I wouldn't risk, I wouldn't lose sleep losing him. But on the other hand, I had Michael Wiley on there, and, you know, there's, you know, half the teams in the league have a guy like him who looked pretty good in preseason games as a running back and will surely clear waivers. So I don't know that they have to keep him either, even though I did. Then there's Kazmir Allen, who they're trying to, you know, find a way to put him on this roster, clearly as a returner out of the backfield. Like, this is like 2 years in a row where, like, the staff is trying to get it done, but the game results don't really show a lot of the reasoning why. That said, I still put him on over essentially Jamison Crowder, which is the move. I'm like, ah, wait a minute, that's kind of stupid. What am I doing? But, like, I probably should go back to Crowder instead of Allen. But when the things were tied for me, I kind of leaned towards the youth rather than an older player who, you know, might just be here for the 1 year. So I think those spots were, you know, sort of in conjunction were tough. And then the defensive side we can get into, but, you know, how many defensive linemen are they going to keep? Are they really keeping six edge rushers, i.e. Jamin Davis making the team, you know, Fedarian Mathis, Derek Forrest, I think are some other names that we're familiar with who have been around who, you know, might have a tough chance to make the team. So I think those are probably some of the tougher spots.
All right, let's go back to offense. So the one change in your head already you'd make is that Kaz Allen not making the team, Jamison Crowder making it?
I think so. So I asked Quinn yesterday, hey, you know, you have like 30-odd guys not play. Is it fair to say that they're all making the team? And he's like, well, there might be a couple injured guys, but yeah, you're probably on the right track. And Jamison Crowder is one of those guys. And yet somehow in my head, I didn't do the math and say it didn't connect. And, you know, because like I said, I kind of already was thinking that they would come up with some other plan at punt returner. So, you know, and I think also like Crowder's always been a pretty solid receiver,
right?
You know, not a game breaker, but, you know, solid. And, you know, after trading Dotson, you know, solid is about what they have right now. So I think, yeah, I think that would be the way to go. Again, I think you could probably also cut Wiley just because he'll clear waivers. But, you know, at some point you can't go into the season with two running backs and Kazmir Allen. That's not going to work. So that's why I did. But yeah, I would probably swap Crowder back in for Allen at this point.
I guess there is a way both could make it with Kaz Allen, you know, handling kickoff returns with somebody like Byron Pringle and Crowder handling punt returns. But then what? Wiley doesn't make the team and Kaz Allen's the third running back and then perhaps another receiver doesn't make the team. I'm not doing the math in front of me. You've been focused in on it, but is there a way? Look, if Kaz Allen was given every opportunity to do something in these preseason games, and I'm sure they were hoping that he broke a big one last night so it would make the decision easier, right? But I don't even know why that would be, because it's not like the people they have on the field blocking or the people that are covering that you're going against are the people that he'll be out there with in week one against Tampa. But it seems to me that they were trying to justify their belief that he should be their punt returner and one of their two kickoff returners with a big result in preseason.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, he didn't have that moment in a game that would be like, oh, here's why he should play. You know, I think it was the first preseason game that Wiley had one or two pretty nice plays, and Dan Quinn made a comment like, hey, I've been kind of waiting for him to have, you know, a splash play like that, and now he saw it. And like I said, it just didn't quite happen with Allen. I think that, like, but just to broaden it out, I think the challenge here to me, this is sort of like trying to figure out what Adam Peters wanted to do at the draft once we got past the quarterback. You know, he addressed a lot of needs, but he didn't reach for need. He took, because they had so many, he just took essentially best player available all over the place. And for the most part, other than maybe Johnny Newton, like, he didn't take one where you're like, well, they're kind of feels like they're set there. This to me sort of feels like the same scenario, because we're not talking about a team that is like a real true contender, thus saying, well, they have to have this kind of player or this at this many positions. I think it's a lot of the same like the draft. They'll keep whomever they think makes the most sense for them long term. You know, like the 53 player roster, you know, a handful of guys don't even play every week. You know, forget injuries. You know, a lot of the guys are just on inactive. So it's not like you have to have all these people on your roster to play. It's a matter of what are you building? And, you know, like that. So I think that's the part that becomes a little bit more complicated. Maybe Jamison Crowder, as an example, beyond he's a solid player, you know, he's just a good guy in the locker room. He's a veteran, you know, he'll set a good tone and all that. And maybe they decide in the end, they think that matters more than the hypothetical upside of another younger player. But again, the younger player is the longer term play. So I, as you can tell, I've talked myself into knots with some of these final calls, but ultimately it's just hard to figure out where is Adam Peters going to go. Cause we can sense the obvious concerns, but he's not, again, I don't think he's thinking like week one, what do we have to have? I think he's thinking for the rest of the year and beyond, who can help us the most?
Yeah, there's also just the, you know, if Jamison Crowder's on the roster week one, his contract's guaranteed for the entire year as a vested veteran.
Yeah.
So some of that'll, play into some of these decisions as well. But I just want to ask you real quickly, if Kaz Allen, if they decide to cut him loose, who's the third running back? Is it Wiley?
Well, like I said, a lot of other people seem to think McNichols.
Right.
He has ties with Anthony Lynn from before, and that seems to be factoring into why some people would put him on. And, you know, look, Anthony Lynn's a former coach, head coach, and, you know, he's got a voice, and Adam Peters is not about, you know, his way or the highway. He's a collaborative thinker. So, sure, but like I said, I just, you know, I would have to believe that a guy like that, either him specifically would clear waivers or that they could get the equivalent of him to put on the practice squad. So, you know, but again, Wiley is looks good. I've been kind of impressed, but you know, as we know, every year in the preseason,
sure,
there are these guys who just stand
Marcus
out.
Mason,
and
boys and girls, Georgetown prep zone. Everybody thought he should make the team.
Right. So that's the rub here. When when these guys are playing in the second half, especially against other players who are likely to get cut, you know, how do you assess that? I think the Athletics obviously have to have a third running back on the week one roster, but I'm intrigued by Wiley, his potential more than I'm intrigued by McNichols' experience.
Where was McNichols, Anthony Lynn together? When did that happen?
Oh, I don't know. Was it Detroit, Okay. Maybe?
Okay. All right. Talking to Ben Standig, basically, if Crowder makes it, Kaz Allen doesn't, then you've got the six receivers. And I think because that's an area that everybody's really interested in, I said earlier, look, it's Terry, Diami, Zacchaeus, and McCaffrey. Those are the four givens. I think everybody would agree to that. And then you get into, are Pringle and Crowder a part of the kick and punt return group? And that probably dictates whether or not there's a six wide receivers or just a fifth. And I'm curious as to whether or not your guy Tremaine did enough, and whether or not Bryant's, you know, a possibility there, or even a Tinsley, who actually played pretty well, but played, you know, not, you know, which meant that he wasn't obviously any better than on the bubble.
Yeah, so obviously we've talked a lot about Bryson Tremaine this summer, and I, you know, stand by the fact that he had a really good training camp. But now that we're here towards the end and things have changed, I think Byron Pringle's ability to on kicks, as well as giving them another outside receiver threat, I feel like that's kind of pushed him up. And then, you know, we just talked about the Crowder situation. So, you know, I think ultimately I've got Tremaine and Bryant to the practice squad. You know, in Bryant's case, he's not going to get claimed off of waivers as a vet. So they just have to, if he agrees to, you know, hey, we're going to put you on the practice squad unless somebody offers you a gig, then that's probably set there. The ones that, you know, gave him this opportunity, right? So I would imagine that loyalty to some degree goes a long way. But, you know, whatever position we're talking about here, I think the key to remember is this is the initial 53, and it might be the second 53 by Wednesday when the waiver claims happen, because Washington has the second waiver claim. They'll be positioned to take to get almost any single player that they want, and you have to imagine that Adam Peters is going to not just make one move, he might make multiple moves, whether that is for another receiver, an offensive lineman, a cornerback, or anything. Running back could be literally anything, and so that's why another thing here is like, what are we even really talking about with some of the last two or three spots? These are some guys that, you know, may just get cut or, you know, move to the practice squad anyway. So, you know, that's another part of this, trying to figure out, like, how, you know, who won't get claimed, which of the vets can they say, hey, you know, we want to bring you back, but yada yada, they make practice squad, and they might say, well, that's not for me. So, yeah, I mean, that's the thing. This is the initial 53. It is definitely not even the only 53 within 24 hours after we know what it is.
Yeah, and then we have the week one vested veteran thing, which means week two there's more opportunities there as well. We're talking to Ben Standig. So Jamin Davis played last night, but you believe, I believe it too, and I think Quinn kind of said it at the end, I think, he's going to be on the final 53-man roster. You agree with that, right?
I do. I mean, you know, I've talked about my reservations with this because early in camp he really was, you know, not flashing much at all as a pass rusher coming off the edge. And, you know, again, not a special teams guy. So, you know, how does that work? They've already got a bunch of other edge rushers. But, you know, he has improved in practices and a little bit of games as a defensive end, granted going up against deep backups, but still. And, you know, the way Dan Quinn talked about it yesterday, he said that he mentioned the progress. He mentioned that, like, I don't know the exact phrase, but he basically said, we'll use him as both a linebacker and an edge rusher. And that was
I read this earlier and played it. Even with some changing of positions, we'll flex him some at backer as well, but he's really starting to come on as a defensive end. We'll flex him some at backer as well as future tense. So I think that tells you that, you know, he can't flex him at backer as well if he's not on the roster.
Right. Well, and again, you know, the fact that Jordan McGee is going to miss at least some time, you know, must be a consideration. You know, that this will give them a guy that can play both spots. And Quinn also said that he's been, you know, they've been using Jamin now on kick returns. I wasn't paying too much close attention to that. So the fact that he is saying that, again, goes to my point that they hadn't been using him there. But if they are trying to figure this out, then it's another, you know, another example of, hey, we, you know, how do we keep this guy on this team? We can't, you know,
kick coverage,
he's not going to play regular snaps. We've got to find some way to justify it.
Yeah, kick coverage, not returns. He's
Covered. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Talking to Ben Standig, coming up with six safeties and six corners couldn't have been easy.
The safety wasn't a huge issue for me, but you know, the player I have on the outside is Derek Forrest, and yep. I think that's obviously a tough one. But I do think, you know, from what I've heard over the last week or so, you know, they've let teams know about certain positions where they think they've got some extra depth. One was receiver, and that was, I heard that before they traded Jahan, and safety is another spot along with defensive tackle, or they've said some more things to teams. So, you look, I mean, Forrest can play. I, you know, if Tyler Owens doesn't emerge, if they don't draft Dominic Hampton, you know, I mean, Forrest is, you know, probably comfortably on the team. But at some point, you know, how do you keep everybody? You know, we can, again, we can keep playing. I can keep,
so are you saying playing. That you think that there would be some trade value in a guy like Derek Forrest or Phil Mathis? When you said D tackles, I'm assuming Phil Mathis.
Yeah. Yes, but again, we're talking like, you know,
yeah,
that player condition. In a seventh for a sixth or something along those lines. Nothing, right. You know, nothing that sniffs Jahan, what they got for Jahan. But yeah, I mean, look, I mean, Derek Forrest can play. It's just, you know, again, new team. They didn't draft him. They've got other guys. Tyler Owens has certainly emerged. I think he's making it. I mean, Hampton, whether you want to call him a safety or a linebacker, he's getting in there. You know, Jeremy Reeves continues to be who Jeremy Reeves is, and Dan Quinn has cited, you know, how impressed he's been with him at times. Percy Butler, I guess, would be the guy that, like, well, the head-to-head comparison, but I just think Butler has shown a bit more versatility and has been you know, higher up in the practice rotation more consistently than Forrest, so I kind of went with him over Forrest. But, you know, again, this is where the whole roster composition comes into play. You can just decide, well, screw it, we're going to – we don't need to worry about the third day. We can always elevate a Michael Wiley from the practice squad on game before they can go from there. So, yeah, this is where the roster manipulation comes into play. But straight up, I just think that the Forrest might be in trouble.
Do you think Castro Fields has a sheet well last year? And I think he's actually played well, and the reason I bring him up more than, and I brought him up a few times, is that energy level and the enthusiasm, the motor is so obvious in watching him play, and I know that they really have emphasized that in the players they want to be on the final roster. Does he have a shot?
Yeah, he was my final cornerback cut. I kept a newsium over him largely because they gave Anusium that significant bonus, you know, to sign as an undrafted free agent. I don't know that he's, like, blown me away this summer, but, you know, for whatever the reasons they liked him in the first place, I don't imagine that they've, like, faded. The irony here on some level is, you know, Adam Peters and the 49ers drafted Castro Fields, and then they released him as a right before the season started. And he then landed here. So, no, he definitely has a chance. And, you know, for the reasons that you just outlined, that he plays with a lot of energy. And needless to say, that's been a buzzword for Quinn and the rest in terms of what they're looking for this year. So, yeah, I mean, look, here's the other reality of this, right? I mean, typically for any roster, the bottom handful of players are not going to be, you know, some overly interesting the relative to, like, you know, wins and losses. The rub here is that even a lot of the guys in the top 30 or 40 aren't that, you know, there's questions about in some cases. So the difference between guys who, you know, we're probably feeling pretty decent about and guys who are going to be on the wrong side of the bubble is not necessarily that steep. You know, I mean, Noah Igbinoghi, yeah. I have him on the 53, but, you know, I don't think he played particularly, you know, he was on the wrong end of some plays last night, and, you know, he's bounced around the league, but he was with Dallas last year. I just think he gives them some more versatility in the secondary, and he can also help as a returner, so I kind of have him in, but yeah, it wouldn't, like, floor me if they said, nah, we're going to go with Castro Fields and Anusium instead.
All right, last two. Quarterbacks, three. You think Driscoll makes this team along with Mariota and Daniels?
Well, you know, they know more than I do about what's going on with Mariota and this injury that's kept him out of the last two preseason games. I mean, Dan Quinn constantly says that they're just being cautious with all these guys who've missed time. And maybe that's it. I mean, maybe he practices this week and there's nothing to see. But I don't know. Until I see it, it's hard for me to just assume he'll be ready. And also, you know, I'm not saying Jeff Driscoll is a guy you want necessarily out there in a big spot. But if Washington is down 10 points in the game and somehow, for whatever reason, they have to go to the bench, I think Driscoll's athleticism and downfield passing, his willingness to throw down the field, I think has been more attractive than what we've seen out of Mariota, which is a lot of holding the ball and then running. Mariota is probably the safer option, and I think he's making the team, if for no other reason, because they like him as a mentor for Jaden, and you know, obviously they gave him some decent money. But, you know, the other thing is, like, you know, the whole reason why the NFL changed the rule about how teams can use a third quarterback is because of what happened to Peters' 49ers in exactly. The NFC Championship game. And, I just don't know. I imagine that sort of scarred him a little bit. The only question is, would you keep Driscoll or would you keep Hartman? The fact that Hartman, you know, look, whatever promising he is, he was an undrafted free agent quarterback. That says something. And he basically didn't play this summer because of the shoulder injury. So I can't believe that a team is going to pick him up. Therefore, probably can release him, get him to the practice squad, and go from there.
Did I hear this correctly the other day that Dan Quinn said, in terms of the final cuts, the final call is with Adam Peters?
Yes. I mean, that was my I asked him that. That was my assumption all along. But now that we're here, I just wanted to sort of double click on that. You know, we've been so used to that, you know, what happened the last 4 years with Ron Rivera wearing both hats, that we sort of forget sometimes what the real hierarchy is. And the GM typically is the guy who has that. But since both of these guys were new, you know, let's double check. But yeah, Quinn.
The GM, Quinn. You're saying the GM typically has the final say on who's on the 53?
The GM?
Yeah.
I mean, it depends on the coach, right? I mean, if it's, you know, Andy Reid, maybe not.
The
but
GM puts the roster together and then puts them all, you know, out there for the coach to make kind of the final decisions on the 53. I could be off.
I mean, it's, you know, every situation can be different, but it's like in the movie Moneyball, the basic point between the Brad Pitt character as Billy Bean, the GM, and the Philip Seymour Hoffman character as the manager, Art Howe, was Billy Bean set the roster and Art Howe didn't use it the way he wanted him to. So I think that's generally how it works. Again,
they were trying. They were trying something much different than Art Howe could even understand.
Sure, but I'm just saying, like, I think, like, when Pete Carroll and John Schneider, I think Pete Carroll had a lot to say because he's Pete Carroll. But John, you know, but now that Pete Carroll's out, John Schneider's got final say over Mike McDonald. So yeah, I think typically the coach, the GM's going to have the say. But again, it all, you know, in five
more collaborative.
Yeah.
Lastly, real quickly, Cade York. I mean, nothing was long. They were both chip shots, 33 and 34 yards. But I guess they have a guy that will make the 53 unless there's some other plan based on what they're hearing in terms of the players that will be released.
Yeah, I mean, he certainly helped his cause last night with that. Like with everything else, they'll look at the waivers and see what could be had. But the fact that he's a promising player at that position, and, you know, based on what he's given them, especially compared to what they've had in here the last month, I would imagine they see this through. But yeah, we'll see what happens.
All right, great job. Thanks, appreciate it.
Yeah, man. See ya.
Ben Standing, everybody. This segment was sponsored by Floor and Decor. Unbeatable prices, unmatched in-stock selection. Floor and Decor has more styles of laminate, vinyl, tile, wood, and stone for anyone looking for the right look at the right price. Your next beautiful...
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Space is at Floor and Decor. We'll do some Denton news when we come back. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
Hitting the news you might have missed. It's Denton's Daily News.
All right, Denton, what do you got?
All right, we'll get some NFL stuff, but a big day tonight at Nats Park. Dylan Cruz making his highly anticipated debut in the majors, former number 2 overall pick, won a national championship at LSU. He's coming up today as the Nats take on the Yankees at home.
Yeah, the Yankees in town. Big games for the Yankees, who are a game and a half up on the Nats, and we get to see Dylan Cruz in his debut. In 100 games in AAA, in multiple minor league levels, 270 he hit, 13 homers, 68 RBIs, and 25 stolen bases. So here we go with some of these late season call-ups, and we're going to get to see, you know, definitely 2/3 of the future outfield together in Wood and Dylan Cruz. Should be exciting. Good win for them yesterday. DJ Hurz pitched really well. We'll get to see Mitchell Parker, who pitched well in his last outing against the Yankees. And really, and I know you've probably got this in your news, but right now we get to see Aaron Judge, you know, in town for the next 3 nights, and he is on an absolute tear. 2 more home runs yesterday for Judge, getting him to, 51 in the season?
Yeah, he had 50 and 51 yesterday. Yeah. His record is 62. You know, I'm excited because, so you remember, we covered this well, I thought, last 2 years ago when he was breaking his record. Things have changed a little bit. You know, they remember ESPN was doing like these live look-ins whenever the Yankees were playing. I can't wait until they do a live look-in during an SEC football game. Because that fan base, those fan bases down there where it just means more, they are not going to be thrilled. Big game, and then you get Aaron Judge. Like, I don't care about this Yankee.
I was not following that, and then it just, for whatever reason, a little bit delayed reaction hit me. Yes, we had those reactions on Saturdays. You can't do it during NFL Sundays, but they have done it on Saturdays.
Did it on Saturdays. The SEC crowd, not going to love it. Not going to love it one bit.
No. So what is he on? He's hit 51 in 131 games so far. Is that it?
Yeah.
Times 162. So he's on pace right now for 63.
Yeah.
Which would break the record that he set when he hit 62, which passed Maris's record, right? That was the one. So that was the American League record, because Maris hit 61 in the first 162-game season in 1961. Remember, the American League. So Barry Bonds has the record, but obviously it's tainted with 73. Maguire hit 70. Sosa's in there a couple of times. I forget what his numbers actually are.
Right.
But Judge holds the American League record. And some people believe the actual record because of Sosa, Maguire, and Barry Bonds' use of performance enhancers. But he's on pace for 63 now. But nowhere near on pace to get to, you know, Barry Bonds, Mark McGuire.
Unless things go really bad the next 3 days.
Yeah. I might go one of these next three nights, see the Yankees. I think I saw the Yankees 1 year where they were at RFK in one of those first few years. I would imagine it's going to be heavy, heavy New York Yankees fans.
Yeah, a lot of pinstripes. A lot of pinstripes. Into the NFL we go. I had not watched this game, but you had mentioned it, did a little bit of research. Los Angeles and Dallas in a preseason game. Who cares about the result? The Chargers won. Nobody cares. Trey Lance threw in a preseason game 49 times and 5 interceptions. He did throw a touchdown pass, but 5 picks in a preseason game.
Yes, yeah, so Trey Lance, remember, the Cowboys acquired last year. Cooper Rush, just so if anybody's forgotten, he is the actual backup quarterback to Dak Prescott. Trey Lance expected to be on the roster. They let him long on Saturday night against the Chargers. And he had one of the most incredible statistical nights for so many reasons. In maybe the history of preseason football, certainly in the last 10 years. As you said, he was 33 of 49 for 323 yards and a touchdown. But he was picked off. Oh, he also rushed 11 times for 90 yards. He accounted for 413 yards of total offense and 2 touchdowns. He also threw 5 interceptions in a game, 5, and fumbled twice, although none of the fumbles were actually lost fumbles. That is, we want to see what Trey Lance can do. Let's just let him drop back, fire it, and let him run around all he wants. He had a touchdown run of 46 yards. I mean, he can really move. Like, worst case, if you were stuck with Trey Lance and nobody else, you would just go straight to a dual threat attack and let him rush double digit times a game out of the, you know, and zone read teams to death. He looks special in that area of the team. But 5 picks in a preseason game. Amazing.
I mean, pretty substantial when you consider that the Chargers' offense had 12 receptions and their defense had 5.
I was looking through that box score, and this was a name that just popped up as part of the Cowboys' box score. Kelvin Harmon has been on the Cowboys' training camp and preseason roster. Remember Kelvin Harmon at NC State?
Yeah, DC defender legend.
Was he for DC Defenders?
Yeah, he played for the Defenders.
Oh, I didn't know that. I think I looked it up that he's only played in one NFL season, and that was in 2019 here in Washington. But that's an incredible night. He had an active night, certainly, as a quarterback in the final preseason game. I wonder what the record is for preseason pass attempts.
I got to think that's close to it. If it didn't break the record, I got to think it's close.
A last preseason game when they go with the guy who's the third or fourth stringer exclusively and they don't play anybody else, I don't know. 49 seems like a lot of pass attempts for one passer in a preseason game. No doubt. I wonder if that's even a record that you would find anywhere.
I don't think they keep it. Yeah.
All right, what else you got?
All right, how about Ted Lasso getting renewed for a fourth season on Apple TV? I got to admit, I'm a little skeptical. I thought season three was kind of like the perfect swan song.
Agreed.
And the guy that plays Jamie Tart is not going to come back
season
four. There's a scheduling conflict, so he can't come back.
Everybody else coming back?
Everybody else. Jason Sudeikis. They're saying that Jason Sudeikis will reprise his role. I don't know if he's going to star in it or if he'll just kind of be like a I'm going to show up for an episode or two kind of a guy. But everybody else should be good to go.
Roy Kent's coming back?
Roy Kent, Hannah Waddingham. Yeah, all of them.
Rebecca,
yeah.
Keeley, she coming back?
I believe so, yeah.
Coach Beard, is he coming back? That's the oddest episode of that show. The Coach Beard episode.
He is a character, that's for sure.
Yeah. I think that's one of the most upbeat, happy shows I think I've ever watched. But I agree with you. I thought it was a good ending, and I thought it had run its course after three seasons.
Speaking of Apple TV shows, I started reading the books that the show Silo is based off of.
Oh, really? By the way, when is Silo coming back?
November.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, so it's like kind of like right towards the end of football season, which is not the greatest, but it's coming back in November.
I thought that was well done, and that Rebecca Ferguson is outstanding.
She's great.
That's her name, right?
Yeah, she's great.
Yeah. And what's her face? Quincy Jones' daughter is in that.
Rashida Jones.
Rashida Jones was
in the first episode. I thought Common was really good. I've never been like a huge
Common
fan of
Common. Common was excellent
actor,
in that show.
But he was really good in that show.
Yeah. I hate when shows come out like that during football season. I think it hurts for people like me. Anything else?
Yeah, one final thing. Apparently, John Mechie is on the market in Houston. He played at Alabama. He's a good receiver at Alabama. His career was off to a tough start because he was diagnosed with a form of leukemia. But apparently, he's on potential trade block, which if you're Washington, maybe you take a swing at him. I would imagine you can get him for something like a seventh-round pick or something.
How much? Who did he play for last year? Houston?
Yeah, he's been with Houston, but because that roster is so loaded, you know, now that Stephon Diggs is there, he had 1,000 yards in college in 2021. He had only 158 yards last year.
All right. When we come back, ESPN put out their list of the top 100 players in the NFL entering the 2024 season. We'll tell you which Washington players were on that list. And one other thing that Josh Harris said last night that I wanted to play for you. Kevin Sheehan showed the Team 980 and the Team980.com. ESPN put out their 2024 NFL rankings of the top 100 players for the season, predicting the top 100 players for the season. There were five teams that didn't have any players on the top 100 list. And yes, Washington was one of those teams, along with Arizona, New Orleans, New England, and Carolina. And that includes no Terry McLaurin. 19 wide receivers in the top 100. Terry McLaurin not among any of the receivers. I would imagine that he was close to the list because they did a follow-up story on some of the biggest snubs. Chris Olave wasn't on the list. Nico Collins wasn't on the list. And Terry McLaurin. Those would have probably been the next three receivers that were not on the list. But a bit of a snub there not to have him on that top 100 list. Again, we're nearing the end of list and ranking season, thankfully. But unlike the players list, Denton, this list at least had Patrick Mahomes number one overall. Lamar Jackson was two. Jefferson was three. Miles Garrett four. Josh Allen five. Ja'Marr Chase six. Micah Parsons seven. Tariq Hill eight. Christian McCaffrey nine. And T.J. Watt 10. CeeDee Lamb was 11. If the Cowboys don't get CeeDee Lamb signed and on that roster for the opener, it's one of the stupidest things of all time, especially given how important this season is.
Well, there's a report right now that they just offered him, or they're willing to offer him, 4 years, $132 million.
That report's out there, but did you just say that he's going to agree to it?
No, that's what they're willing to offer. So it hasn't been agreed upon yet, but that would make him the second highest paid receiver in NFL history.
4 into 132, 30, 20, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, that would make him number two.
Correct.
He's got to accept that offer. Why? He's not better than Justin Jefferson.
He's not. No.
All right. Josh Harris. We played a lot of the Josh Harris from his presser prior to the final preseason game last night. There were two more sound bites from Josh that I wanted to play. He was asked about the impression so far of the culture that Dan Quinn's building in that football locker room. Here's what he said.
You've been out at training camp practices. What's just been your impression of the overall tone and sort of the culture that Quinn has started to build?
Yeah, people are having fun. People are committed. They're having fun. You've got Dan, obviously, is very intense, but he's building a culture of, you know, everyone being on the same page, having the same goals, same objectives, and he gamifies things. And a lot of optimism, a lot of excitement. You know, people, you know, all the vets showed up at the, you know, at an optional veteran minicamp. You know, it doesn't really happen. So, you know, it's a great vibe and a different vibe. And people are just ready to get going.
Yeah, much different vibe than the vibe that he experienced in his first year as the owner. It just was a bad situation all the way around last year. Probably the worst by far of the 4 years that Ron was in town. And again, some of you think he should have, you know, cleaned house in the 3 days before training camp started after he took ownership of the team, but I don't think that was practical at all. By the way, the statement he gamifies things, I think I understand what that means. Like a lot of coaches, especially with younger teams, younger, you know, I'm talking about, you know, youth sports, will turn everything into a game, which makes it more fun for the players. So you turn, you know, your press break offense into some sort of game that the players can keep score and have more fun. I think that's what he was talking about. I just didn't know that everything needed to be gamified at the professional level. I thought that was interesting. 14 Denton is the last one I wanted to play from Dan Quinn. Basically, he was asked about expectations for this team this year.
With a new coach, new GM, new quarterback this season, going into 2024, yeah, what are your expectations and what does a successful season look like?
Yeah, so I'm focused on our long-term goals, which is I want to be elite and playing deep into the playoffs or competing for Super Bowls season in and season out. And, you know, I'm focused on building, and I think this will be a better season than last year across the board. I think we're going to be, you know, obviously the identity that Dan and Adam have been talking about, you know, of, you know, the team is front and center in terms of us being competitive, of being, you know, punishing, of competing at the end. And obviously, you know, obviously we the record was dismal last year, and we better do better than that. But, like, really, I think this is going to be a way better season for all of those things and a lot of the intangibles. Jaden developing, hopefully, into what we think and all hope that and know that he can be. And so a lot of intangibles, and then you should see improvement across the board on everything. Whether that I've learned a long time ago in sports not to make like bold predictions, so I will not. This is sports, and I'll leave that to the bettors in Vegas and other things, people who are better at making predictions than I am. But you know, for sure, we're all going to have a much funner time.
Let me just make sure everybody understands this. They're expecting to be competitive this year. They're expecting to be, and by the way, the owner wants to see it because for business reasons, it would really be helpful if they got off to a fast start in particular. But this is not just, you know, he said sustained winning season in, season out, big picture, long-term, understood. But they expect to be a lot better this year than they were last year. Be hard to be as bad as they were last year. All right, I am taking a few days off here on this final week of August, heading into Labor Day weekend. I will be doing a podcast some of those days, so tune in for that. But Denton will be here with Doc the next few days, and Chris Russell is up next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.